Today's scripture reading comes from Luke chapter 7, verses 36 to 50, and can be found on page 1023 of your Pew Bible. When one of the Pharisees invited Jesus to have dinner with him, he went to the Pharisee's house and reclined at the table. A woman in that town who lived a sinful life learned that Jesus was eating at the Pharisee's house. So she came there with an alabaster jar of perfume. As she stood behind him, at his feet weeping, she began to wet his feet with her tears. Then she wiped them with her hair, kissed them, and poured perfume on them. When the Pharisee who had invited him saw this, he said to himself, "If this man were a prophet, he would know who is touching him and what kind of woman she is, that she is a sinner." Jesus answered him, "Simon, I have something to tell you." "Tell me, teacher," he said. "Two people owed money to a certain moneylender. One owed him 500 denarii and the other 50. Neither of them had the money to pay him back. So he forgave the debts of both. Now which of them will love him more?" Simon replied, "I suppose the one who had the bigger debt forgiven." "You have judged correctly," Jesus said. Then he turned toward the woman and said to Simon, "Do you see this woman? I came into your house. You did not give me any water for my feet, but she wet my feet with her tears and wiped them with her hair. You did not give me a kiss, but this woman, from the time I entered, has not stopped kissing my feet. You did not put oil on my head, but she has poured perfume on my feet. Therefore, I tell you, her many sins have been forgiven, as her great love has shown. But whoever has been forgiven little, loves little." Then Jesus said to her, "Your sins are forgiven." The other guests began to say among themselves, "Who is this who even forgives sins?" Jesus said to the woman, "Your faith has saved you. Go in peace." This is the word of the Lord.
There is, in the middle of that text, of that incident, a question that Jesus asked Simon the Pharisee. I want that question to be the basic point of this morning's sermon. And the question is, "Simon, do you see this woman?" What I'm going to do is go through the incident as recorded in Luke, and I'm going to talk about various details in that episode. But as I do so, I encourage you to not lose track of the central issue here, and it is that question: do you see that woman? At the end of that time, after I've gone through the story, I'm going to say some things about people in our lives that we may or may not see, and I'll ask you the question: do you see people the same way God sees people? And maybe even more basically than that, do you want to see people as God sees them? All right, let's take time to look through the story. So, as you heard, Simon the Pharisee, a Pharisee is a teacher, a respected leader in the Jewish community, strict follower of the Jewish law. He invites Jesus to his house. Jesus comes, accepts the invitation, and Simon welcomes him into his house. A couple things. First of all, it's not in a house or his house. It's probably in the patio or the entry area of his house. That's where these sort of things typically happen. Interesting thing is that because it's out in the open, people could walk by. In fact, they might even stop and listen to what is going on. If it was an interesting group of people or whatever it might be, it was not uncommon for people to sort of stand around the courtyard and sort of listen in, watch what was going on. We don't know why Simon invited Jesus. Jesus had apparently gained some reputation. He had done some miracles, a lot of teaching, and maybe Simon wanted to hear more about Jesus. When Simon welcomes Jesus to his house, he is courteous, as far as we know, but he doesn't treat Jesus with a great deal of honor. If he was going to honor a guest, Simon would have greeted him at the door, probably with a kiss. That's how that was done. And he would have provided for him water to wash his feet. People walked in sandals, dusty world, and that's just what you did with guests that you honored. Simon did neither of those two things. If he had really honored Jesus, he would have also provided oil for his head, to anoint him as a sign of welcoming. I don't know about you, but I think to myself, you know, it's hot, it's dusty, etc. I'm not sure I want oil on my head. But that was the custom. If you wanted to honor a guest, that's what you did. Simon doesn't do any of those things for Jesus. He invites him, but he doesn't honor him. It's almost like he wants everyone to understand, yes, I've invited this teacher, this possible prophet into my house, but, you know, he's kind of a questionable character. So they're there. They're talking about whatever they're talking about, the Mariners, et cetera, whatever it might be. And all of a sudden, this woman enters. Very soon, she enters this space, and everyone knows who she is. She is identified by Luke as a sinner. In this town, she's a sinner. What does that mean? Usually, that's interpreted to mean that she was somehow sexually immoral. Perhaps she was a prostitute, maybe, or maybe she had been unfaithful and everyone knew it. There's an interesting kind of theory about this woman that some people have put forward, and that is that she was the woman caught in adultery who was going to be stoned, and Jesus intervened and saved her life, that it could be her. It'd be nice if it was. It makes really for a really good story, but we don't know that. All we know is what Luke tells us. She's a sinner, and everyone knows it. The reaction of the people there probably was something like, what is she doing here? Who does she think she is? No one says anything, however. Jesus will say that she immediately came to Jesus. And the way they were at the table, if you don't know, the table is low. They're not sitting at the table. They're lying at the table in kind of what I think would be kind of an uncomfortable way. And on their elbow, on a pillow, and reaching for food and eating that way. So their feet are out. The woman comes, stands at the feet of Jesus. Everyone's aghast. Everyone's embarrassed. Everyone except Jesus. And she begins to cry. She begins to sob. The tears just flow. And I have to assume that she kneels at Jesus' feet. And her tears fall on his feet. And she's brought with her a small jar of perfume. And she washes his feet with her tears and anoints his feet with the oil. But she does something else, which is, I don't think there's any way I can convey to you how scandalous this was. She unbound her hair, let it fall. Women didn't do that in public, not decent women. She does that. She kisses his feet. Everyone around her and Jesus, the other Pharisees, the other people there, I'm thinking they're so stunned they can't talk. No one thinks to get up and chase this woman out. They don't know what to do. This is just beyond anything they've experienced before. And Jesus lets her do this. Simon thinks to himself, this guy cannot be a prophet, because if he was a prophet, he would know who it is who is doing this. Oh, actually, what he says, touching him. She's touching him. She's a sinner, and everyone knows that. And he's letting her touch him, this personal kind of contact, touching him. And he's scandalized. Jesus knows what he's thinking. And he says, Simon, I have something to tell you. And he tells the story about two people who owe money to a money lender. Please understand, the reason he tells this story is, first of all, there will be big truths to it, but first of all, specifically, is to explain why the woman is doing what she's doing and why he allows her to do it. So he tells a story. Two people owe money to a money lender. One owes about a year and a half worth of wages. The other person owes about a month and a half. The money lender forgives both, and Jesus asks Simon, so which of the two do you think would love the money lender more? And Simon says, well, I imagine, if I have to answer, the one who owed more and was forgiven more. Jesus says, you speak right. Right before Jesus told the story, when Simon thought to himself, if he knew this woman, what's ironic about that is that Jesus does know who this woman is. In the largest frame of things, it's Simon who doesn't know who this woman is, because something has happened. We're not told by Luke what it was or when it happened, but you kind of wish he had. Something has happened between Jesus and this woman, because Jesus will later say that she is weeping and anointing my feet and kissing them because her sins, and the tense is, have been forgiven, as demonstrated by her love for me. Somewhere, somehow, Jesus had contact with this woman, and they had an encounter, and he bestowed on her the forgiveness that she so desperately wanted. Yeah, he knows this woman. Simon does not, because he does not see what Jesus sees. Jesus sees a forgiven sinner, and Simon just sees a sinner. So Jesus says, you've spoken right. Yeah, the one who owed most, loved most. And then he asks a question. Do you see this woman? It might be that he is asking that question in just kind of a conversational sort of way, and kind of saying, I'd like you to pay attention now, turn your attention to this woman. Might be, but I think he's asking a much deeper question. Do you see this woman? Do you see her? Or do you see the woman you used to see as she used to be? He goes on, Jesus goes on to explain, you know, when I came here, you didn't offer me, you didn't greet me with a kiss. You didn't give me water for my feet. You didn't have a servant wash my feet. That's sort of common courtesy. You didn't do that for me. You didn't give me oil for my head. Didn't do that for me. But she, this woman, she washed my feet with her tears, with her hair. She hasn't stopped kissing my feet. And she anointed them with oil. You know why she did that? And here I'm sort of expanding. It's about that story I just told you. She has much She has much in her life that needed to be forgiven. She had much rottenness in her soul and spirit that needed to be cut out. She was carrying a huge, huge bag of filth. And now it's all gone. And she can't help herself. She has to weep. She has to kiss my feet. Not for anything that you're thinking in your mind, some sort of weird stuff. She's doing that because she's overwhelmed with love. When Jesus gives that truth, he has a slightly different look at salvation. Not different, not in contradictory sort of way, but just sort of a different way of looking at it than, for example, the Apostle Paul. The Apostle Paul's way of dealing with or explaining salvation is, for the most part, kind of a legal thing. You were lost, and now you're saved. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and you will be saved. It's passing from death to life. Being forgiven, having your sins taken away. Here in this story, and in Paul's writing, the central truth is, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. We're all sinners, kind of equally separated from God. But Jesus here gives a kind of emotional perspective on that. This woman came. And she came from a long way away. I grew up Roman Catholic. Participated pretty regularly. That was important to my mom. I remember going to confession regularly, and one moment in junior high, I went to confession, and for some reason, when the priest said to me, "You are forgiven," it made a huge difference to me. I think this is the only time I've ever experienced this, but I left the church and I felt like I was walking on air. He said I was forgiven. Later on, I came to understand, as I attended a local community church, what that meant. That what salvation was about, that Jesus had died for my sins. I look back on that experience and coming to Jesus, and I'm eternally thankful for that. But this story, this might sound entirely weird to you. This story reminds me of a thought I have every now and then. I wish I had been a bigger sinner. Because sometimes I think, you know, I was pretty good back then. I went to church. Yeah, Jesus forgave my sins, and you know, I had my share. But I look at some people, like this woman, who come from so far away, and suddenly their lives are radically changed. I kind of sometimes think, I wish I'd had that. I wish I had that experience. If you grew up in the church, maybe you think that sometimes. It's important to remember that whatever story we have about coming to Jesus, whether it's from deep darkness or semi-light, we all cross over the bridge. And it's the bridge that's given to us by Jesus. I think it's okay. I think God is okay with me thinking that sort of thing. But I think God would want me to remember, listen, I sent my son to the cross for you. Not just other people that have more dramatic stories. I sent my son to the cross for you. Do not diminish what he's done for you. Don't compare it to what he's done for someone else. He's done it for you. An important lesson from this woman's coming to Jesus is that when she comes to this house here and washes Jesus' feet, and Jesus knows who she is, there's nothing in the story that would indicate that Jesus was thinking, you know, she really wasn't that bad. Jesus knows who she is. And that does not prevent him from bestowing upon her salvation and forgiveness. It doesn't matter where you come from, how far you've come, or how near you are. Jesus accepts you and wants you to be saved wherever you come from. He will not say no to anyone that comes to him. Jesus goes on to say, your sins are forgiven, because he's already said that to the woman. The other guests wonder, well, who is this that he even forgives sins? That's not the text I'm dealing with this morning, but it's an important part of that story. And Jesus sends her on her way. Your faith has saved you. Go in peace. Some things about that question. Do you see this woman? I think there are people in our lives who we do not see as God would want us to see them. I would ask you this. Simon sees this woman the same way everyone else except Jesus sees this woman. If the disciples are there, they probably see this woman the same way. Certainly other Pharisees would see the same woman this way. I would caution you about this. Do you see the people in your life the same way your crowd sees those people? If you're at school and your crowd doesn't like so-and-so or thinks so-and-so is a snob or an idiot, do you see that person the same way? Because you're a follower of Jesus Christ, and because you have been forgiven, I would suggest to you that you ought to be able to see people differently than the crowd around you. You ought to be able to see them or glance at them in the same way God does. There might be people in your life whom you have decided, you know, that they're never coming to faith. They're too foul in their language. They're too immoral in their behavior. They're too wrong in their treatment of other people. They did me wrong. They're never coming to Jesus. That's not how God sees them. And then there's that whole category of people who are different than we are, who speak differently, who dress differently, who are richer or poorer than we are. And we think to ourselves, you know, that's who they are. That's what defines them. And we don't see them as God would want us to see them. I want to tell you a story. A couple of years ago, I was asked to do a wedding in Yuma, Arizona. So I arrived and I learned very quickly two things about Yuma. One is that it's hot. I mean, really hot. It was early September. I got off the plane. It was 105 degrees, and that was the beginning of the cool season. They told me that the week before it had been 118. Should have been here for that. So I go to the wedding rehearsal, and Veronica Rodriguez, and introduces me to her father, Meliton. After the rehearsal, I sat next to him at the dinner, and we were just quiet for a while, and it was getting kind of awkward, so I said I should talk to him. I hardly can speak any Spanish, and he could hardly speak any English. So I could say something. ¿Dónde vive? Where do you live? And he said, aquí en Yuma. Cerca, nearby. And he said, sí. And then with the help of his daughter, who was seated nearby, we got into a conversation. I asked him where he worked. He said he worked on a large vegetable farm. He told me about his boss, Richard. And he said Richard was a great boss. He worked on a crew of 10 regularly, Meliton did. And he said his boss, he called his boss great, not because he paid him a lot of money, but because his boss, as he said it, if I have a shovel in my hands, he has a shovel in his hands. He works right alongside of us. He told me about his children and how he wouldn't let them work while in school because he wanted them to do well so that they would have a life that was better than his. But the thing I remembered most about Meliton was his dignity. When I met him, I shook his hand, and his handshake was strong. His hands were rough and stained. He stood with a kind of at-attention stance, and he looked you right in the eye. He reminded me a lot of my own father in his bearing and his work. I tell you about Meliton not because some great theological point, except this. It's about how we see people. The next time you drive by a field and you see workers out there, be careful of any judgments you make about them. Begin to see people, all people in your life, as God would want you to. Let's pray. Father, may it be that we will be less like Simon and more like Jesus with the people in our lives. Amen.